1270 The Buzz. 1270 The Buzz welcomes you to Broadview, a weekly radio show that looks into the issues here in Northern Nevada. Hot topics of the week, a senior moment or two, and special guests. Phone lines are open now at 823-1920. Here is your host, Jay Davis.
And a very good afternoon to you, and thank you so much for joining us on another edition of Broadview. And thanks to my co-host, JP. Hey, JP.
Hey.
How are you this week?
I'm doing good.
How about you? Boy, you've been around, huh? I heard you on another radio show. You're getting all those invites now, are you?
Nevada Matters.
Yeah. Good for you. Did you go in there and tell them a thing or two?
I think I was the only person at the table who didn't agree.
With everybody.
Story of my life, kind of.
I thought it was a very interesting show, though, and I'm glad you're infiltrating.
Infiltrating.
We need it. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today, coming up, Phil Kirpin is going to join us again. He is the Vice President for Policy at Americans for Prosperity and the author of Democracy Denied. We had him on the show, a few months ago. Very good book. And now he's going to talk about the Obama administration's health care plan and why it isn't going to work.
That should be good.
Should be good. Also, Matt Bayen, author of Eat Fat, Be Healthy, When a Low-Fat Diet Can Kill You. And he knows. He had a heart attack when he was in his 40s. He survived 72 times. And he gives us hope that fat is good. So we're going to talk to him. He's going to come in. Here's his book here. Very interesting. Give you some new insight on heart attacks and high cholesterol. Because, you know, everybody says cholesterol is the culprit. He says not necessarily so.
And I agree with him because I've already got somebody telling me that.
Is that right?
Yes, I do.
Well, he'll tell us all about how this all got started and they kind of grouped together of same likeness and ideas. And it's not necessarily true.
Yep.
And there's a new test that you can have done by your doctor that he'll tell you all about to find out. So it'll be interesting. So we will be looking forward to talking with Matt. Right now, let's see. Hot topics this week. Have you seen the YouTube Coney 2012? Have you seen it? It's just gone rabid. I mean, faster than Susan Boyle even.
I've read about it, but I have not watched the documentary. Have you?
Yes, I did. 30 minutes. Over 70 million people have viewed it, including me, not you. You have to check it out, or at least some clips of it. Uganda was trending on Twitter this week, and Blogosphere teamed with Attacks and Defenses of Invisible Children, it's called. It's a San Diego-based nonprofit group. It's produced a half-hour documentary about the notorious Ugandan warlord, Joseph Kony. Kony. A household name, this is what they wanted to do, was make him a household name and drum up global support to end the murders, the rapes, abuses, and abductions that were committed by the Lord's Resistance Army.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Okay, but in the middle of all that, there was a report that Joseph Kony had been killed. You know, we've got SEALs over there looking for him, trying to kill him.
Yeah, well, he's got a lot of people around him.
So far, there's been no verification that that really happened, so I don't know if it's true.
What I hear is he's undercover.
Right.
Because he knows everybody's looking for him. I mean, including the International Criminal Court is looking for him, among other people, for crimes against humanity. They're also looking for the president of Sudan. I mean, he's also going to be brought up on charges, according to this documentary. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Let me just tell you, Kony was a former altar boy. He was a young man, early 20s. He was caught in the storm of violence that marked the final years of Milton Obote's presidency. Obote? Did you hear about him? He was disposed in the military corps in 1985, soon after the National Resistance Army seized power. And Kony's Lord's Resistance Army was among those who rose up against the NRA. Now, he was a spiritual leader, known as a healer among his people. He inherited a powerful support base from a spiritual medium there in his country of Uganda. And now, boy, I'll tell you, it's skyrocketed, the popularity of this YouTube. You can find it very easy. It portrays in no uncertain terms the image of a madman who manipulates children spiritually for his own tactical gains, the invisible children. And the right message is about 15 years too late, according to Colonel Felix Kulaji, He's a Ugandan military spokesperson. He said that if people cared about 15 years ago, thousands of lives would have been saved and thousands of children would have stayed at home and not been kidnapped. Well, that's a big if, Colonel. You know, things kind of go along and you have to take it as it comes. The International Criminal Court has issued arrest warrants for Sudan's defense minister, also 41 counts of crimes against humanity, war crimes allegedly committed in the Darfur region.
So
is that sick?
So he's in hiding, but you know
Hussein,
what?
Yeah, Hussein's in hiding too. He's wanted for actions ranging from August 2003 to March of 2004 in Darfur, where rebels have fought government forces on and on and on. The United Nations estimates that as many as 300,000 people have been killed and almost 3 million people have been displaced from their homes. Wow. I mean, it was a big thing. We heard all about Darfur and everything horrible going on there. But this is kind of a wrap-up of
it. So this documentary.
The documentary.
Does he have actual film of the kids that he has in his army?
Yes.
Do they look little?
Well, they're all sizes. All ages.
Okay.
All sizes. Most of them, look pretty malnutritioned.
So the gun is bigger than they are sometimes?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's just...
horrifying.
See, and the reason that works for him is because young boys don't have the...
Well, they don't have family.
Restraint.
They don't have the family.
They've got a gun, they're going to shoot.
Yes. They don't have family, so he's... used that mentality and taken them in, just like, gang members. It's the same thing. You can't find what you want at home or you don't have a home.
This is your family.
You get displaced, they become your family. So you fight for whatever cause they're saying is the most important. And he's got them all brainwashed. I mean, it's just incredibly saddening and it's easy to find on YouTube.
Did you cry, Jay?
Please do. I did. Well, I mean, I didn't. Although I probably should have. It's horrifying.
Yeah.
It really is horrifying. So now this documentary is really stirring up. You can donate. And, of course, celebrities, now that the celebrities are doing it, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. But I think it's a good cause. It's a good reason. And people are going to help him. It's going to bring the attention.
And he YouTubed it, right? This is a YouTube thing.
Exactly.
Not something YouTube. That came out in theaters.
No. YouTube.
Isn't that amazing what YouTube is doing to our world?
Isn't it unbelievable?
Oh, we've had people on here. That's how they got their name is YouTubing.
Yeah. It's just unreal. But I think it's a great thing. And it isn't 15 years too late.
You know,
it's
we could probably get
late.
Famous on YouTube, too.
Let's get
if
them
we
in
took
here.
Our
Let's
clothes
get...
off and did this show.
Oh,
we
now, wait a minute. That's not going to happen. Take our clothes off. You're funny. But not very. So anyway, go to it. It's real easy to find. Just Google Coney 2012, or just Google Coney, K-O-N-Y, and you will see it, and you'll feel very lucky, right here in this country. Wow, he unleashed such fury over there. Unbelievable. So anyway, that was just all over this week, and I'm glad it was. Also, the rising prices of oil, that seems to be...
It's
my gosh,
issue,
I mean, $4 a gallon, $4.18 for premium.
And meanwhile, our president stopped.
Going up, the rising price of oil, single most serious threat.
Stop the pipeline again.
Yeah, to the global economic recovery, the U.S. economy, and President Obama's reelection prospects as well. Right now, we're beginning to move into a pretty broad-based recovery. They're saying, this is what they're saying now, manufacturing is rising for the first time in 25 years. Technology firms are doing better. Retail is picking up. We see that all over TV. Housing recoveries are emerging. Very important because housing has led almost every recovery since World War II, they say, once the housing goes back up. But all the while, you have this economic good news. You're beginning to see oil prices rise substantially. They're up about 15% over the last few months. 15%, I say.
Well, they're twice as high as they were when Mr. Obama took office. So
certainly puts a damper on the good news. And then I was wondering, well, why is the price of oil rising? And there's many opinions on that, but I kind of checked out Fareed Zakaria. I really like him. And according to him, he says, here's what's happening. Iran.
I don't think that's...
That's what he says. He says it's happening for one reason, and it is geopolitical risk.
Right. People are worried about the risk, right.
Geopolitical risk.
It's not necessarily the oil that comes out of Iran.
No,
it's
the fear
worry.
Of war.
It's
fear
the
of war with Iran. Fears of crippling sanctions on Iran would cut down Iranian oil exports almost entirely. I mean, the exports entirely. Now, if you look at the demand for oil, it's really not that strong. they're saying. This is what they say. Much of the world is in slower economic times. In January of 2007, oil was $50 a barrel. Now it's $110 a barrel. Doesn't make any economic sense unless you actually factor in the geopolitical risk. So for oil prices to decline, there must be some resolution to the tensions with Iran. Broader problem, though, they're saying, which is that there just isn't that much oil on the market. Demand is going to begin to rise again in many countries when they come out of their recession and they're into recoveries. There isn't that much. What they call spare capacity is what they call it. And the ability to increase production quickly. The only ones that have that potential is Saudi Arabia. And they say they're running at their limit right now. So there are economic fundamentals that explain why oil prices are high, but not why they are so high. And the reason they are so high, according to Fareed, is Iran, 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 Iran. Iran, Iran, Iran. And now are they going to go back in there? Did you hear anything about that? They're going to go back in there to check his nuclear production and all that's going on with that.
Remember last week we talked about Netanyahu meeting with Obama. Well, the news is out now that Netanyahu asked for the bunker-busting bomb. He asked for armaments that would help the Israelis take out...
Bunker-busting bomb, that sounds so old.
Well, it's because the nuclear facilities in Iran are underground, so you need something special that can explode down into the ground and destroy it.
And blow them to the moon.
So the Israelis asked for help with that from the United States, and the rumor is that Obama said, I'll give it to you, but you have to promise you won't use it until after the election.
What?
And you can't really verify things like that because they come from unnamed sources.
Who started that?
But people are pretty sure that the Israelis did ask for help with the weapons.
Well, who else did they ask? Are we their only friend?
We're the only people that
are we their only friend? Are we the only war mongrels?
Pay for the research to make that kind of a bomb.
Well, you wouldn't know it if you live over here and check out our economy.
I know.
Where are we getting the money?
Nobody spends money on the military like we do. So,
and well, among other things, we'd have a whole lot more money if we stop helping with the mosques.
No, I think that somebody needs to take out that nuclear facility. That's just how I feel.
I don't know. You don't know what's down there. We don't know. I mean, they say it's for electricity. It's for their people. I mean, come on. What if that's true?
We know that's not true.
How do we know that's not true? We thought Hussein had mass destructive weapons, too.
You don't need to enrich uranium to the point where they're enriching it to make power. You only need to enrich it that far to make nuclear weapons.
But I know. But maybe are they doing this just for the fear factor?
It doesn't matter. You can't take a chance, can you, that a madman will have a nuclear bomb?
Well, then why doesn't somebody from Israel send some other madman in there to get that madman?
I keep hoping that the Ayatollah, who everybody says the Ayatollah...
Well, I was just going to say that now. The Ayatollah is supposed to be the one...
He really runs
supposed to be the one, yes. Yeah, so what does he say?
I keep hoping that he'll just say, you know what, Ahmadinejad, we're done with you. And there was a story this week in the newspaper that said the Ayatollah is thinking of eliminating the position that Ahmadinejad holds.
Oh, my goodness.
So, like, I think he's the president. The Ayatollah will just say, no more president.
No more president.
We don't need that position, and that'll be the end of Ahmadinejad.
What will happen to him? What would happen?
I don't know, but that's the one that I worry about. He seems to be crazy.
Yeah, he does seem to be crazy.
We got to wipe Israel off the face of the map, and as soon as we have the bomb, we're going to bomb them. And
I'm just hoping we have the right information. I'm hoping we really know the truth. I just don't know. From the media, from over there, through everything, and then to us, I just don't believe anything anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know what to believe.
It's true. You do have to
see. And bad information causes bad reactions.
Yeah, the stories this week are that Iranian, the religious... Mm-hmm. guard that they have patrolling the country to make sure people are doing what they should be doing.
Shiites or Sunnis?
They're Shiites. Iran.
I have to keep that stuff straight.
They're
stoning teenagers?
Because some of the teenagers in Iran are starting to look like American teenagers, and they're wearing their hair a little longer.
I think Ahmadinejad looks like an American if you just look at him.
Their piercings in their lips and their piercings in their noses and these religious...
A bone in their nose. Ho,
guards
ho.
Are going right into the high schools, taking them out in the field and stoning them to death. Because of the way they look. Is that disgusting or what?
Well, that happens over here.
Things are not normal.
That happens over here. You go to school, the bone in your nose, you could be in trouble.
I don't think so.
You could be in trouble.
I think we'd hear about somebody being stoned.
Way better. We hear about everybody being boned, okay. Don't we?
I guess they are stoned.
We're going to take a little break here. There's more in Hot Topics of the World coming up with JP and myself. I'm Jay Davis, and you're listening to Broadview. Thanks for joining us. Don't go away.
1270. The Buzz. The Buzz.
It's 105 miles from Reno to Gerlach on State Route 447. A nice enough drive, especially if you like big country and blue skies. But a mile further, just one more mile, and there's a fork in the road that makes all the difference. One that takes you from pavement to dust and opens you up to the amazing, to a place called the Black Rock Desert. Going that extra mile is what Clark & Associates, a Nevada-owned insurance agency, understands all too well. They experience it on hiking trails and back roads across the state. But the extra mile is also their mission statement. With 20 years in Northern Nevada, Clark & Associates works harder, more creatively, and more personally to add value to your insurance. Clark & Associates, employee benefit solutions that go the extra mile.
Go to KBZZ.com for all your home improvement needs. It's like having a virtual home show every day. Find what you're looking for at KBZZ.com and click on Home Sweet Home.
Welcome back to Broadview on 1270 The Buzz, a weekly program with updates and discussions of the issues and hot buttons of Northern Nevadans. Phone lines are open at 823-1920. And now here's your host, Jay Davis.
Well, that was a quick break. Welcome back. Thank you, Sean. Wow, I didn't even lose my train of thought. What were we talking about?
Did you have a train of thought?
Not really. We were talking about kids over in Iran looking like Americans with piercings and long hair and getting stoned.
You, there was a picture of one of this poor kid that got stoned to death. He looked perfectly normal. I mean, you would be happy to have your son look like this. His hair was slightly long. He was wearing some skinny jeans, and I guess they just hate that in Iran.
One tattoo and just one piercing?
No, I didn't even see any piercings or tattoos.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
He looked pretty doggone normal to me.
Yeah, for an American, huh? Well, you know, they still wear turbans over there in the Middle East. I mean, the older guys over there have hair down to their ankles. If you take that turban off, I mean, woo-hoo.
I don't think they wear turbans in Iran.
No, maybe they don't. You know, to me, you know, it just seems that way. I don't know who does and who doesn't, you know. Anyway, it's crazy. The world spotlight back on Fukushima over in Japan.
Nuclear power plant.
The nuclear power plant. 1 year ago, series of events began with an earthquake off the coast of Japan that culminated in the largest accidental release of radioactivity into the ocean in history. Now, we do have to be careful about saying accidental, because in the late 1950s, early 60s, 50 to 100 times more radioactivity was released worldwide as fallout from the intentional testing of nuclear weapons. Chernobyl, as we remember, 1986, hundreds of miles inland, so it had really a smaller impact on the concentrations of radioactive substance in the sea that was measured and measurable anyway. And that was directly off Japan in 2011. So 1 year later, we have to ask, what do we know about Fukushima's impact on the ocean and levels of radioactive contaminants in water and fish? Well, 2 weeks ago, they had the largest international gathering of marine scientists studying radioactive substances in the ocean originating from Fukushima. And today they say what we need is greater international coordination of long-term studies of the fate and consequences of the radiation. And you and I, we were there for a taping over at Old Town Mall when they were talking about Yucca Mountain.
Yeah.
And now nobody's died from nuclear reactors and nobody's, and it sounded all really good that, you know.
Randy Thompson and Ty Cobb Jr., they were both in favor of using Yucca Mountain.
And I have to admit, I was caught up in it because I thought, well, yeah, okay. Because I hadn't heard the information scientifically.
Right.
That no one had died in Chernobyl.